This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is a cattleman from Fredericksburg, Texas. Serves as a director for the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers, Shelby Horn. Shelby Horn will join us in just a moment. First off, let's talk turkeys. Dr. Mark Jackanowski with USDA.
Turkey prices, seeing some strength there on the wholesale side, raised our 2025 price by a third of a cent per pound, all based on price strength in the fourth quarter of this year. And we expect that to carry into next year, where we raised our price forecast by 2.5 cents per pound to 142.5 cents per pound for turkey. And that reflecting some demand strength that we expect to continue, along with those tighter supplies that we're now forecasting that will also contribute to those higher prices.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today we're joined by Shelby Horn, director for the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association in Fredericksburg. Hey, great to see you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
All right, little background about you and the operation. And by the way, a great looking office there. And for anybody who's ever been to the Fredericksburg area, it looks very Fredericksburg-y, if I could say that behind you. But tell us about you and your operation.
Thank you very much. So I'm a sixth generation cattleman. I've been doing this a long time in my family. I currently am the general manager for Able Livestock, and we have commercial cow-calf operations and yearling operations in Florida, Texas, and New Mexico. So pretty deeply involved in the cattle business is all I've ever done, and so excited to be here to talk to you about it.
Well, let's talk about TSCRA as well, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. Many will already know about the organization, but if they don't, what's your elevator speech for who TSCRA is and what they do?
So the TSCRA is Texas and Southwest Cattle Raisers Association, and we're an association of cattle producers and landowners, and we pretty much advocate for the cattle industry and for the landowner industry, and are pretty focused with our committees and involvement with other organizations and advocating for the industry.
There's been a lot of concern lately over beef prices, and I know you've probably heard that as well. And there are some who point fingers in one direction, others who point fingers in another direction, others who say it's supply demand. So take us through this, and what shows up on the retail side? Is it production, supply? Is it inflation? Is it other things?
It's a really good question. And, you know, to really understand what we're facing in the cattle business and therefore in the beef business, you have to really look at how the industry works. And we really have about a 10 to 12 year cycle from cycle highs to cycle lows in the cattle business. And a lot of it has to do with the herd size. So how many mama cows we have on the ranches or our cow herd size. And if our cow herd size expands, we have more cattle that are being fed and therefore more beef that goes into retail. And as the cow herd contracts, we have fewer cattle that can be slaughtered, and therefore we have less beef to the retail sector. And so right now we're at the tightest cow herd size since the 1950s. And so we've gone through this cycle back in 2015. We ramped up the cycle, we grew the cow herd, and then we ended up in COVID. And what happened in COVID is very important to the cattle cycle. During that time period, we had we were slowing chain speeds at the packing house, and therefore we had cattle backing up in feed yards. And so we were sending signals back to the cow-calf producers that we had too many cows, prices were low. At that time, packing margins were extremely high. Retail feed demand was very high during COVID. People were were stocking up and stocking their freezers, but at the same time, we were unable to have adequate throughput packing plants. So on our side of the business, we were seeing depressed profitability, and therefore we began to liquidate cows, which was kind of an interesting dynamic. And so along with that, we've had a lot of drought in the last 5 or 6 years, and that's caused us to have to liquidate cows. So as we get to this point in the cycle, we've really shrunk the cow herd down and got the cow herd at a historically low level. And so we talk about supply. Supply is historically tight. When we talk about demand, just the opposite is occurring. One of the things that a lot of people aren't aware of is demand for beef has been historically high, and it's growing the last several years. We've had increased supply of beef last year because we made cattle really big and it produced a lot of beef, and we sold that at higher prices because the consumer was demanding the product. So we find ourselves right now at really high beef prices as a result of both growing demand and a pretty tight supply on the cow-calf side, being able to produce and supply that demand.
We're talking with Shelby Horn with the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Shelby Horn, Director for Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association from Fredericksburg. Hey, Shelby, you know, we could really, and I know many will point to what they see at a grocery store level. That's obviously one that's on display quite a bit. But really, when you look around at other products, other goods, other commodities that are there, I remember trying to buy Cokes at 25 cents a can or even 50 cents a can. So is there a level of inflation that's really taken over everything?
Absolutely. You know, all of our inputs are 20 to 30% higher. You talk about Cokes, I think about pickup trucks. You know, just a few years ago, we were able to buy a pickup truck in the $30,000 to $40,000 range, and we thought that was high. And now that same pickup truck costs $60,000 to $65,000. So costs have gone up on everything. You know, when you look at price of beef in the grocery store, for me, I think a $5 latte at Starbucks is pretty high compared to a $25 a pound steak. Our prices have gone up on everything. We produce a very high quality, a good product that takes a lot to produce. So we have seen inflation on a lot of things other than just beef.
Now, obviously, you mentioned the steak there. You're only going to get so many steaks out of one carcass. Now, I would imagine with heavier weights, we might can generate more ground beef. We've got to import, though, some beef in order to get the lean equivalent that consumers have become accustomed to. Is that kind of an interesting scenario as you sit down and try to explain how the industry works when it comes to the grind?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we produce really high quality beef in the United States, and we feed that grain. Our Our beef is all grain-fed beef, or the majority of it is. And when you provide or produce grain-fed beef, you also produce a lot of tallow or fat. And fat is actually where the flavor of meat comes from. And so to utilize that tallow that we produce, we need more lean. And so we import that lean and mix it with tallow, and we sell it as hamburger meat, which is really also a very high-quality product. That's demanded for, you know, the hamburger brine demand has been unbelievable. As we've opened all these restaurants that serve gourmet hamburgers and those kind of things, that's been a big increase in demand. But it's a net gain for us as cattle producers. We take something that's of low quality and we can mix it with some imported brine and produce a product that that's very good for the consumer, but also helps us use parts of the carcass that we wouldn't ordinarily be able to use. And so trade is a good thing for our industry. And, you know, when you start being protectionist and you think, you know, if we didn't import anything, we would have higher prices, that's really not the case. What we export is a lot higher value and higher quality than what we import. And so trade is a good thing for our business. It allows the cattle market to be higher, because we're able to utilize parts of the carcass and export parts of the carcass that we don't use in the United States. You know, some of the offal is exported to other countries that use different organs and things that we don't even consume here. So ground beef, you know, lean beef, and also things that we export are actually very beneficial to us from a market.
We're talking with Shelby Horn, director of the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. We're talking with Shelby Horn from Fredericksburg, a director of the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. You mentioned it earlier, and I've heard Randy Block mention it for years now. Randy is CEO of Cattle Facts and has come back at the Cattle Facts Annual Outlook Seminar and just said, congratulations to you as a producer, because you listen to the consumer and you have developed the product that they want and they reward you with demand. Would you agree?
100%. Consumer demand for beef has been stellar for the past several years. And I think that is a result of us producing a better product. We have more product now that grades prime and choice than we've ever had. Consumer eating experiences are reported at an all-time high. And so, you know, we are producing a product that consumers want. That is very satisfying to a producer, and we will continue to do that. Adding days to these cattle has allowed them to grade at a higher level, and that's produced a better eating experience. So, yeah, consumer demand's been, you know, unbelievable. And that's a lot of this, you know, higher prices if we just had demand for the product.
Shelby, I know we've taken a lot of your time. Thanks for carving out a few minutes to visit with us. We wish you the best. Again, Shelby Horn is a director for the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association in Fredericksburg. And you can find out more about TSCRA online at tscra.org. TSCRA.org. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Attention farmers, Jim and Jody Johnson are retiring and their premium equipment is heading to Purple Wave's December 30th Ag Auction. Don't miss their 2024 John Deere ExactEmerge 1775 NT Planter and 2019 John Deere S760 Combine. This retirement auction features well-maintained machinery that's been part of a successful farming operation with equipment located in Osage, Iowa. Everything sells. Absolute no reserve to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com for details. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donnie Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Public comments are being accepted through January 27th on a final rule designed to expand producer access to crop insurance and other risk protections. USDA Risk Management Agency Administrator Pat Swanson says the focus of the Expanding Access to Risk Protection final rule, ERP, is
how to reduce burdensome regulations and burdensome paperwork for our farmers, just to help make the program more accessible for our farmers and easier for our agents to deliver the programs.
Among those aspects of ERP scheduled to take effect beginning in the 2026 crop year, improve land access through preventative planting relief, streamline production reporting to crop insurance agents, simplification of dispute resolution processes, and placing policy dates like end of insurance in policy provisions to create greater flexibilities on the county level. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.